sharing experiences, providing insight, and looking for solutions to become better hunters. Whether you're chasing bugles over the next ridge, sitting a stand out east, this is about passion, pursuing our dreams of field, our lifestyle, the betterment of self and community, the enlightenment that comes from those moments spent in God's creation. Through these conversations, I hope you find insight, inspiration, education, and motivation to push beyond your limits.
Yeah. I got a big old water sitting here, though.
Yeah, I got...
I've been trying to cut grip, all that daggum.
Put one here and drip or two here.
Yeah, buddy.
Coffee, water.
Early morning, double fisting. So we're on with Aaron Amber, 2-0 gear, El Presidente.
Good morning, guy.
Morning, my brother. So, man, I'm excited to do this. You know, ran that 2-0. Everybody knows I've been hyping it up since, you know, about October after the month on the mountain with it. Got to run it down in Texas, and man, do I have some feedback for you on my aptitude line. So it's pretty cool. So why don't you give us an intro, man? We'll get into that and get the formalities out of the way, and we'll start having some fun with 2-0.
Hey, yeah, guy. Again, happy 7 a.m. to you, 9 a.m. Mountain Time. I know you're recording this for your listeners, but happy to have a conversation with you this morning. So as you stated, Aaron Amber, president of Nexus Outdoors, and as it relates to this conversation, 2-0 gear. So yeah, I look forward to chatting with you a little bit. 2-0 gear's been exciting. As you know, guy, Joe Gagilia, I guess through him, got connected with you guys for the Elk Bros, and it's been an interesting journey the last year and a half. So excited this morning to talk a little bit more about our gear, and you're doing it on a little not too much sleep because you're hammering for the Western Hunt Fest, yeah, which thank you for incorporating us into your event and us getting that deal worked out. We look forward to what you got going on this spring, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, I'm pumped to have you guys on board, man. I mean, you know, it's being the, I hate even saying it anymore, right? But being that gear junkie kind of guy, and I'm kind of getting away from that, man. Just, you know, going through the testing and whatnot and really kind of finding a home with everything I'm using, right? And kind of getting away from all the, I guess, expenditure, because it gets expensive. But I mean, it's cool to test new gear, yeah, right? But then you find things that are like, man, everything about this is solid, right? I don't really need to change it, like my pack system, right? With IA, I don't need to change it. Where in 2-0, and we joke about it, right? But that aptitude line, that soft shell line, I feel like after running that entire month of September and now this Texas experience, running it intentionally, I don't feel like I need to look at anything else or want to test anything else, I guess is a better way of saying it. Super pumped to have you guys on for Hunt Fest, man. I, you know, Efren and Jeff, my partners there, they got into the gear. Steve had it delivered to the property. They got down there, man, they were pumped. So we got to run almost all the line that was sent, right? From the soft shell and the aptitude, the merino pant, the climb pant, each one of us wore something different. And it was really impressive to see it function in that environment as well as it did. So we'll dive into that stuff, man. So what about 2-0 gear? Why did you guys say, hey, let's go out west, right? What brought you guys to that?
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, we have over 100 years of experience on our product team of developing performance outdoor gear. And, you know, we have a couple other brands. We've been in the hunt space for a long time, and we've never really set out to solve the, you know, the Western big game thing. And as you know, guy, and, you know, I cut my teeth in the West. You know, I'm a farm and ranch kid from South Dakota, so I spent a lot of time in the Western plains of South Dakota to Wyoming and Colorado, and you know, occasionally I get some big game tags in the Arizonas of the world. And so, you know, we wanted to bring a brand to fruition that we thought would accomplish everything the Western hunter need to get done. And there's, as you know, there's a specific, you know, architecture that you take into the Western hunt, guy, because you, as you know, guy, it goes from highly active to highly stationary. depending on what you're pursuing. I mean, think about, I don't care if we're spotting a stock mule deer, we might be hammering to get to a glass and spot, and then we might be sitting for a long time until we make a move. Or elk, you think about in the morning at dark 30 and you're trying to beat things up the hill and get to that point where they're coming up the hill. So a lot of activity, a lot of perspiration, a lot of heat to stationary activity. So when you think about those demands in the Western big game scenario, it demands a lot, because you're thinking about how do you have next to skin solutions that have good antimicrobial, good stretch, good fit, good breathability. To you think about those first, you know, hunts in August 15th for antelope, or September 1st for you know, elk, or you might be base of hunting velvet mule deer in mid August as well. So you got that into the season. And then you think about, you know, you have first and second rifle hunts in October, and hell, you never know what you're come up against. I mean, it might be sunny and 71 day and you wake up and there's a foot of snow on the ground. So when you think about that variety of conditions, we set out to make sure we could cover those conditions. And then second of all, we tried to make sure, as we did it, we simplified the assortment. Because if you go to toolgear.com, and Guy, you're like, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of my grandpa when he taught me to golf. I went down to Chamberlain, South Dakota with him and the boys, and I was all jacked up. You know, my grandpa's probably 60 at the time, and I think I'm going to be able to golf with the guys. And they all teed off, and my grandpa gave me a 7-iron. He said, I'll see you down to the on the green, right? So he gave me one club, and that's how Guy, we'll talk about your soft shell experience. We do have more than a 7-iron in our tool gear bag, if you will. And so when you think about those variety conditions, we wanted a simplified assortment that would handle, I make it up, August 15 to, you know, late December. And so that's what we set out to do. And it was fabrication first. I mean, it, you know, at the end of the day, it's a jacket or a pant or a top or bottom. And all the secret sauce is in materialization, fabric development, where you can accomplish stretch and durability, and then obviously getting the fit right. And I think we just did a great job of a simplified assortment, great fabrications, and not such a difficult experience knowing, you know, the alphabet's not A to Z with us. I mean, it's a collection of letters versus some people say you need a system, you need all these pieces apart, and what pants do I buy? So simplified assortment as well. So those are three things, you know.
You left out one that's very important that stands out, at least in my head, with 2-0, and that's attention to detail.
Mm.
Because there was, in my head, there's no compromise when it comes to attention to detail, right? I mean, from the pocket shape to the knife pocket to how the flaps over the zipper cargo pocket function and the retention in that, right? And having that little tighter flap. And I know there's some changes going on there, but that attention to detail, man, cannot be understated when it comes to what I have experienced in 2-0. It's been phenomenal. I think that's one of, outside of that durability, you know, and versatility, that's been one of the biggest standouts for me.
Well, Guy, and it's, I'll use a football analogy, but I mean, a lot of guys can, you know, do this kind of thing and create camo apparel, and you know, getting in the red zone isn't that difficult these days, but the details are what separates you from being a 20-yard line to being in the end zone. So I appreciate you bringing up the detail, because it's tough too, and this is not a shot, it's just a fact. I mean, hunters in general are very particular. I mean, the most miserable hunters out there, waterfowl guys, they're never happy. Tell me one waterfowler. I know we're not talking about waterfowl today, but I'm just talking about the hunter. They're as critical as they all can be. I mean, they're never happy. They're in the pit or layout blinds and they're doing this and that. Well, I'll tell you that the Western hunter is a very tough critter in their own right, because we all have the ways in which we like to do it. So, and they're, I'm telling you, it's a very discerning eye in the Western hunt game, because there's been a lot of great brands out there. You think about some of the competition we deal with, the Kuyus and Sitkas and First Lights, and there's some others. I mean, they're pretty good brands that have been around for a while. So you have a very discerning eye. And, you know, guys, you said a moment ago, you're a gear junkie. I remember one of the calls we had with Guy, and he's talking about, he's got a tote full of Puffies. I think that was you guy talking about all the puppies you have to choose from. And yet you pull ours out. It just goes to show that there's just a lot of detail to it, and it's hard to be different, but I think we've dialed it in those details that you mentioned. But everyone has some opinion. I mean, you're never going to get it all right. I mean, even think about body shapes. You know, we took what we thought was the right shape of the garment, and there's a lot of folks that are different shapes and sizes.
That's right.
You know, think about getting hoods right. Hoods are very critical. And one of the things that y'all talked about when we had our product call about, you know, after you guys used it a couple months in the field, our assortment, I mean, there's guys, everyone's neck is not the same length. We have a guy in the office we used to call Stretch. He had a long neck. So you put a, you know, I don't care if it's a 250 Merino hoodie, or you put the soft shell jacket or the puppy, and you know, there's a hood design. You want that just dialed in like this, and you don't want it pulling on you. Well, think about a short neck to a long neck. I'll call them stretch to an average neck. And so there's a lot of details, and you're just trying to hit most people. You'll never be perfect for everybody, but we're certainly committed to being as perfect as we can for where most of the scatter dots are at on a diagram, you know, where most people are.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, we brought up that hood, because that was one of the things with the Clement Puffy that stood out for me, like pulling it out in the box. And I was like, oh, wow, look at the hood, right? And that was the first thing I told the boys when we were going into season test today. And lo and behold, that hood was a standout. And maybe they would have noticed it, maybe they wouldn't have noticed it, I don't know, right? But it was a standout to me. And the fit of the hood with that shape around the face, I was like, this is perfect, right? And that was one of the things that kept me in it. And I think I told you guys that the OV Puffy was my favorite in terms of fit and function. And you guys wiped it off the map when it comes to it. You know, the other day we went on the wife and I went on a hike, and I went downstairs and I'm like, where's my Puffy at? She's like, well, I saw it in your truck. Man, for 3.5 hours, I was looking for my Puffy, freaking out. I thought I left it on the mountain. I was like, where the heck did this thing go? We were on the hike. It got a little warm. I pulled it off. I stuffed it in the wife's backpack. She put it in her closet. So I wasn't even wanting to go grab the other Puffies anymore, right? And the weight to heat ratio on that Puffy with that proprietary DuPont fill in there, 800 fill, if I remember correctly, is absolutely freaking amazing. The packability, I mean, that thing goes maybe 7x8, 8x8-ish into its own pocket. And I mean, super packable, just an amazing, amazing product.
Well, Guy, I was a little bit on the fence when I saw, you know, we when you create product, you really, you don't start, I guess what we try to do is start on attributes. So we try to rank the attributes. So we wanted lightweight. We wanted a really good weight to thermal ratio, which you just brought up. So the weight of the garment and the amount of warmth, we wanted it to be very packable. So we started out, and you want it to be durable, right, too. So you don't want to be one of these, you know, jackets you buy and you tear it up. When I first saw it, I was like, I don't know. I mean, it's light, it's packable, not sure about durability. We have to test that. And I don't know about this warmth thing. I mean, it seems like it should be okay from a technical perspective, but just not heavy. So it was interesting as I did field tests. You know, we've been working on the brand for over 3 years, although we launched it last summer in July. We had a lot of field testing opportunities, and I was surprised and really blown away as well to what you mentioned, Guy. I can't believe as light as it is, is warm it is. And we use Perlite, which is DuPont powered breathable insulation. And it's only got 80 grams in the body and 60 in the and 60 in the arms, but it's equivalent to like an 800 fill. And it's unbelievable warm. And to your point, the hood design, just how sleek it is, how it packs, and it really turned out really special. Really? And it's great when we hear, you know, it's one thing for us to feel about it and think and be happy. But I tell you what, it's like, you know, having a kid, you know, and you think he's a miserable son of a gun. And you go in into parent teacher conferences and they're like, man, he's a really big kid. Yeah. So thanks. I mean, we've got a lot of positive feedback on that piece, as well as a lot of other things. So,
no, and just to be fair about it, right, the only gripe that I have about it is because it's the Puffy, the sleeve taper is a little bit harsh when you're talking about layering up, right, and putting that as your outer. And that would be the only gripe with that piece, was just a little more on the sleeves. Now, generally, I'll wear, especially in elk season, I'll wear my puffy under, say my soft shell, and it works out, right? But if it's, you know, I'm on the go, I want to throw it on over. If I'm wearing a base layer plus my, you know, my Aptitude soft shell, then it's a little bit rough on those ends. But besides that, man, it's awesome, an awesome, awesome piece.
Yeah, that's a great example, Guy, of just how people use things, because we designed it to wear more than likely or the top of a Merino 250, you know? And then to your point, if you get one, and so the thought process is sleek design, you know, so it is not a lot of graciousness there. So it really fits the body. And then you get in a situation where you're running a gun and you got your soft shell and you end up pulling it over, and it's going to be a little tight. Yeah. And again, back to kind of how you designed it. So it's those variables, how people are using it, mm-hmm. which also impacts it. No one wants bulky these days. Right. They all want it tight.
And there is such a fine line when it comes to that too, right? Because too much bulk, I mean, you know, it may hit, you know, you may be at full draw and it brushes the sleeve or something, or it's getting, you know, and I would say snag, but we just learned down in Texas that it doesn't snag, which was pretty interesting. We'll get into that.
Yeah, because for sure.
He goes, man, I was dragging through that crap. And he goes, I thought I for sure had holes in it when I come out. And he said he pulled it out. I mean, we're hands and knees crawling, trailing an animal. Yeah. That was a bad hit. And yeah, not a snag, nothing, man. Just amazing.
And Texas can be really ruthless too. When you think about, you know, where were you at in Texas, Guy?
Just outside of Del Rio and Brackettville. Dry.
Oh, where's that at? From a northwest, southwest? Is that in the panhandle?
It is southwest Texas, 3.4 miles from the border.
Okay.
And then east of El Paso.
Yeah, there's a lot of nasty things in that part of the country, you know, as far as brush and, you know, thorny stuff. And it can be a pretty good testing ground, good place to ruin a bunch of garments.
Yeah, well, that's what I told the guys, too. I go, hey, just, you know, just beat it up. Just abuse the living bejesus out of it. Beat it up. And this is where it's going to test it. And they looked at me and I'm like, just beat it up. And man, it come out, you know, shining. I should have pulled that text up. I text the guys and said, hey, so what did you guys think? You know, and this was their first experience outside of me pushing it on them. And Ephraim, and which really surprised me, he's usually the short and to the point one. And he sent me a text, man, and it was, to say it was a rant and rave might be stretching it, but it was, you know, it checked all boxes and then some, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even that camo pattern, and he's, you know, he's a solid kind of guy. And then he's been wearing, you know, another brand for a while. So that aesthetic value that he's used to, but to hear him talk about the camo pattern and the durability was pretty nice, man. And it was just like, yeah, that's everything I've been saying it is. And then Jeff was sold about a month ago, and I brought some of the line. We had to go to Utah for that expo, and I said, hey, I brought that stuff for you to check out. And he went through it, you know, just in the Airbnb, and was like, goodness, man. So he was already sold on it and pumped, which offers maybe a little bit of bias, but there's no replacing it when you get in the field and it's comfortable and it's doing what, you know, it's set out to do. So it was, you know, really cool for me to see them, you know, fall into line with the line. It was great.
Yeah. So talk about, you know, Big O talks a lot about Texas. Well, Big O's from Texas, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And he rants and raves about how he thought the camo pattern looked in Texas. And now I know Texas is a variety of conditions. You know, you have Eastern Texas to Western Texas to Southwest. Tell me about how the verse pattern worked. We haven't talked about camo yet, but we can talk a little bit about that and how we created it. But let's talk about how effective it was for where you're at in Texas. And then you can share with me a little bit your experiences when you were elk hunting this year.
Yeah, it fell right into the background. So where we were at was really, really freaking dry, man. So, you know, tans, those light earthy colors, not a lot of greenery around. So it just fell into place, we'll say, right? It's, you know, if you're sitting a stand, it fell into place with a lot of the leafless branches and whatnot, and offered great concealment. Where I saw it the best was in the brush blinds. We'd brush ourselves in to kind of get on that, you know, the animal's level, a couple spots where you don't have trees and can't get in a stand. And that's where I think it shined the best. There was one point where I was sitting there, it was slow, pretty warm in the day, and not a lot of movement. So I pulled off my 250, my zipper, my quarter zip hoodie, and I set it in the brush. And then I walked across, I went to 20 yards and I looked, and I went to 40 yards and I looked, I got 60 yards and I'm looking at it. And I know it's there. So it's not like it disappears, right? But it was like, okay, that's a really, really good breakup, you know? And then, you know, sitting in that brush blind, the front of that is fairly open, and you can, you know, you can see through that, and then having that good backdrop behind it, it was really, really good. I mean, some of the darks stood out a little bit more, but in terms of concealment for that animal and that slow movement, man, there's no way. I shot a hog at 27 yards. There were 6 or 7 hogs. They should have seen me. I mean, the way that they came in, as fast as they came in, I had one of them kind of look up as I raised the bow to draw, and that arrow was sent. They never knew I was there. And the animals there are a little bit wired. You start looking at the axis deer and some of the owl dads that have been running around that ranch for a while, they'll come into a set and they'll look up. So, you know, I didn't really have that much of that going on. I did have a set where I was sitting and I was above 7 whitetail, and just to see what would happen, I pulled up my gator. I had my camo 2-0 hat on, and I would move, and they'd look up at me, and I would just be staring back at them, and they look up for a second and go right back to their business. And I'd move an arm over here and same thing. They'd catch that movement. They'd look up, look around, and go back to feeding. So it worked really, really well. In terms of September, we had some really shit. There was one I called a bull in for a buddy. If I remember correctly, I was about 28 yards from that bull. And I'm literally standing in the open next to a small kind of dead conifer. And I'm standing right in the open, and he's looking right at me and has no idea that I'm standing there. Oh, I mean, that verse pattern, it works really, really well. To see it work down in Texas, it just, like I said earlier, it solidified it for me, man.
Yeah, is this a YouTube? You can put this on YouTube as well?
You know what? Here, we'll go from here.
The video, I'm just going to show you the jacket behind, if any of the listeners.
Reporting in progress.
You're good. Okay.
Yeah, right here. You see the tool pattern right behind me. It gives it, you know, it's a little bit different under fluorescent light here. So, but the verse pattern, we put a lot of time and effort into it, Guy. As as we've talked in the past, we wanted to make sure we had one pattern, and we call it verse for reasons, very versatile, because we didn't want to, you know, subalpine. You know, well, let's just start here. I used it out in September, antelope hunting in the western plains of South Dakota. So you think about rolling plains where the buffalo roamed, you know, so from that environment to subalpine to alpine to, you know, above tree line. And, you know, we've done a lot of testing, taking a lot of pictures. You know, I remember sending a team out to Colorado 2.5 years ago when we're in the camel development, and we put all these situations where they stopped in Nebraska and South Dakota, and they went to Colorado, they went to, you know, subalpine, alpine, above tree line. And we were just very impressed with how the pattern works and what the pattern, you know, I think, Guy, you said it very well, what it looks like at a shelf level. So you think about 3 feet, it looks great, you know, on the shelf, which, believe it or not, you have to look good, Guy. And because if it doesn't look sexy and if it doesn't look good, and it doesn't look fashionable, you're kind of out right away, no matter how authentic it is. And what we were able to do is we were able to accomplish looking great and yet accomplish effectiveness. We started out with a number one attribute of effectiveness, but we also had in the ranking, it has to look good and it has to be something that people want to get behind an animal, or they want a great vista of the view. They want to look great in it. So 3 feet looks great. 30 yards starts to break up. And then when you think about a 300 yard deal, you really only see two things at 3 yards. You see lights and you see darks. Mm-hmm. And it has, you know, you step away from this garment further and further, all you see is a light and a dark. And that breakup with the darks and the light is what really creates the breakup of the human form. So we've been excited. We've been taken quite a few pictures in the tree stand whitetail hunting. And we've just been very impressed. You know how it is when you look up, you have a lot of sky behind you and you have some dark trees. So we've been really happy because, as you know, this camel thing is important. It's critical. And yet you don't want to have so many damn camel patterns that people need to have this for this and that for that. And we want to, again, kind of back to simplification. Get a camel pattern. It gets me in the, you know, gets you in not only in the right state, probably gets you in the right, you know, township. And zip codes can depend a little bit, but we're pretty happy how it landed. And again, the name of the camel pattern's Verse. And some people are cameled up wearing camo bombs and camo tops. And then you got cool kids, really good hunters, like a guy that he can just wear solids and kill stuff. I still need to take a little camo to my to my hunt. But yeah, you can go solids, you can go camo tops, solid bottoms. And it just back to even the combination of solids and camos, it does have another unique feature where you know, back in the day, God, I don't know how I used to do it. I used to elk hunt and I used to take two different camos. I used to wear a camo top that was different than my camo bottom, just to create really some chaoticness, if you will, or chaos, if you will, to your silhouette. So yeah, we're really happy where we landed. And hopefully, you know, what we've heard so far is the same thing. Like, hey, my guy was calling up or my hunter was in front of me and I was calling him back. And at some point I lost track of the hunter, couldn't see where he was at. So good testimony again to where it landed.
Yeah. You know, you brought up the aesthetic value, right? And what that means coming off the shelf. And I say it all the time, right? And for whatever reason, hunters like to deny that we are aesthetic based. I mean, if you look at bow selection, right? And forget about the color. It could be the cuts and the shape of the riser that'll grab you. I just bought a Lift 33 and
nice.
That Lift 33 has the Mossy Oak bottomland on it, right? Old school pattern, looks great. But aesthetically, the lines and the cut of that bow, I mean, I was almost sold. Soon as I looked at it, I was like, man, that's just pretty. Not only does it shoot good, but now I have this aesthetic factor that just grabs me, right? And it's the same with camo. I mean, I don't know that as a consumer, we realize how based we are in that portion of things, right? I mean, I watch it all the freaking time and people have no idea that they're doing it. They're already sold on it. As soon as they look at it, then they want to go shoot or try it on. It's like, man, you're going to buy it because you picked it up and you're going through that. It already has you 60% there. And it's phenomenal for me to watch, man. It's an amazing deal. You know, before two of the last couple patterns, camo patterns that I have picked out or, you know, selected to use was based on, oh, that's a good looking camo pattern.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, I don't think we're aware of that. And there is some influence from, you know, bigger names, things like that play into it. But I think aesthetics is huge, man.
Well, and again, I'm a little biased, but I've been, you know, I've been around camo apparel for 25 years and I'm biased from this perspective. We wanted to, so attributes, we talked about the camo was, you know, being very versatile, you know, certainly, you know, being fashionable, being super effective. And then we also had an attribute that we said we want to be halfway like, man, kind of radical, because there's a line that you can't cross where if it's too radical, you know,
you lose.
I won't name brands, but it's like, man, that's over the edge. That looks freaking like a comic book. And then there's really safe over here. And I think we did a great job of pushing the line and being pretty radical. Because if you look at our camo and you line it up against the six guys doing what they're doing, the out west guys and then, you know, the traditional guys, I think it's super unique. And and you can pick it out. It looks different. It's like a chick you've never seen before. Like, huh, I haven't seen something like that. And I think that's just, it's amazing when you can land effectiveness and you can be that aggressive with that camel pattern that makes it unique, but not so unique that's like, yeah, I see that guy coming to camp and he looks like a D-bag, you know what I mean? So
there's those guys.
I'm really happy that the team delivered, and because it's kind of radical. We got into the technical aspects of the design in there. It is pretty radical when we first saw it. And then you thought, think about the change curve. I've been dealing with it for so long that it looks natural, that it looks like, okay. But guys that see it, they're like, huh, what's going on there? And that's what you want versus the, huh, man, that ain't for me. So that intrigue is a great place to be.
Yeah. What's interesting as we're talking about the camel pattern, I'm looking at the jacket behind you and going from, you know, the hood to the shoulders into that mid body area there. I mean, you can see what it's going to do in the woods right there. And then one of the things I noticed, right, and if you look at animals in the woods, right, generally speaking, we don't see a lot of greens, these bright greens and things like that. There's a lot of those browns in that verse, right? And it just makes absolute sense. Okay, those animals don't have stripes and stuff, but how many times have you been standing, you know, 20, 30 yards from a mule deer or a bull, and you don't even know he's there until he moves, right? So I was happy to see those browns, you know, really, really focused on in that. And a lot of that stuff looks great. And the pattern itself, some of those, you know, micro macros will break you up. But then that green has such a standout, man, that it's limited, in my opinion, into where I can go sit alpine in front of some rocks and know that that pattern is going to break me up just as well as it's going to be down, you know, lower in those pinions. And it just works so daggum well, man.
So let's, you know, and I'll share this with you, Guy, and this is hard for me to say, but it's a fact. Like, some of the greens in it, we'll pick on anything outside of light and dark. So there's some oak, fall oak leaf, kind of like an orangish in the pattern. There is some greens in the pattern, slight, but they're there. So shelf level, I'm not, again, talking down to people, but at a shelf level, you'll be like, that's where I hunt, man. There's some greens in it. There's some oak leaves in it, which could be, you know, could be brown leaves around. And you're like, that's me. So that's good. Right. But the reality is at 30 yards, you're barely seeing greens and light browns that are like that orange in there. And specifically at 100 yards, all you're starting to see is lights and darks. So it's funny, back to the, you got to be real at shelf level where they're like, that's me, that's where I hunt. But the reality is, depends, you know, even at, you know, 50 yards at a bull, 30 yards by a bull, probably some of the colors matter, but definitely at 100 yards, you're really just talking about how well the lights and darks separate from each other and really break up your human form. But that's, again, back to some of the technicalities of camo, which most people don't really understand. Or think about some of the dark camos. I mean, how many times have you seen back in the day where we had dark camos? There wasn't a lot of distinction between light and dark on the camo, and they'd be 200 yards from you, and they look like just a black blob.
Yeah.
And again, that's enough lights and enough darks that it just, you know, it breaks up. And then you have sunshine versus non-sunshine. So a lot of technical aspects between or behind camo development. Probably way more than people want to know, but we put a lot of time and effort into it. That's the ultimate on this.
Yeah. And you said, you know, that when you're looking at the camo from the shelf saying, you know, oh, that's me, that's where I hunt. I mean, that's great to have that. But I think, you know, going back to why you named it verse, you can be in that level, right? And for me, the pursuit takes me, chasing that animal takes me, you know, elevationally, we'll say, right? Or into different terrains and covers. So to have something that can, you know, start me where I'm typically hunting at, call it, you know, 9,000 to 10,000, but can take me down to 6,500 up to 12,000 is a big, big deal, man. I mean, it's a simplified kit at that point, right? I don't have to worry about having, you know, 3-4 different things. And then you fall in love with a line, you'll have those 3 or 4 different things in the mix and melding of the different, you know, lines there, which we're going to get into because you guys always give me guff about my aptitude, love. So, you know, with that, well,
let's go there.
Yeah, we're going there. So here's why I love the aptitude is I can start September 2nd when season kicks off and I'm not setting myself up for the luxury of coming down the mountain, changing something out if weather turns. I'm not base camping generally, right? I'll do a truck camp or while I may set a tent, but I'm not there for 4 and 5 days at a time, 6, 7 days at a time. So that aptitude line, it checks all the boxes for me through season, right? I have one pant, one jacket that can run the entire season. We started September 2nd, I believe it was 71 degrees. Clear skies, a little bit of breeze, right? So I'm wearing my bases under that. I'm, you know, rocking a 150 at that point. And that aptitude line, if I get a little warm, I unzip, I can, you know, delayer. I got the half zip on my pant so I can get a little ventilation there. But then I think it was the 5th day of season. So call it September 6th, September 7th ish. We're at 11.4. I look over and I'm like, oh, we're about to get hammered. 40 and 50 mile an hour winds. It's sleeting. Then it goes into rain. It's freezing cold. We hunker down. I'm in that. I'm like, no problem. Right. 3 days later, guess what? I'm still in my aptitude and it's back to the 70s. Right. So having something versatile as that has some water resistance properties to it. It's keeping that wind off of me when the wind is howling at 40 or 50 mile an hour. I don't want to hunker down. I want to keep hunting. Right.
Yep.
And that is why I believe in the aptitude line so much. And you want to talk about mountain durability for somebody that puts it on and wants to kick the living bejesus out of it. The deadfall that we climb over in some of the areas we're hunting. When I was down in New Mexico this year, you want to talk about horrible blowdown. I mean, we're stepping over stuff. It's snagging, it's pulling, it's grabbing you. It just stands up. It just stands up. And I haven't found any doubt that material can be considered a little bit louder than the climb or the merino pant. Absolutely the merino pant. But the taper that is on that aptitude pant is perfect in terms of me going stealthy and not having the extra fabric on the outside, as you would see like in that climb or in that merino pant, to where I have to worry about the rubbing on it. So it just, I think in terms of versatility, beginning, and I wore it all the way through 4th Rifle and recently went down to Texas. I wore my aptitude. It was 70. We had lows of say 41 and we had a high of like 76. I sat in that aptitude the entire time, maybe pull off my top layer, but I was up in that, you know, the solids in terms of the pant. And I just half zip if I got a little warm. Breeze comes in a little bit easier, man. And I was comfy sit. That's the thing too, is they're super comfortable. I can sit in that stand and not feel all bunchy and I'm not dripping wet with sweat. And then I can get off and I was walking around. There was a couple times, I probably shouldn't say it. I might get in trouble, but you know, they don't like you to leave your area.
Oh,
where everybody was at, man. I get down and I was like, you know what? Texas spot and stock, buddy. I was moving around that ranch like a stealthy ninja. And I just wanted to see what those animals, where they're traveling, what the corridors look like. Cause you're looking at this stuff, right? And there's these big giant patches of thick and the road system and the way it is, I was just trying to figure out how these animals are, what they're doing. And I want to pattern them. So I'm like, you know what? I crawl through one of those little tunnels and I get into those thick patches. And some of those things are 19, 20 acres. And I'm moving through there and I'm like, oh man, this is awesome. But then I had the ability to just set back against something, blend in with that verse camo, climb through all those thorns and prickers and cactus. And that, you know, typically I would come back. I mean, you can't really see it. My hands are cut and I'm still pulling out, you know, cactus and whatnot.
Yeah, they're, in my hand. They're festering.
Yeah.
They're festering. You're squeezing them.
Yeah. And, but guess what? My legs in that aptitude pant, I never got pricked. Now I did sit down on a prickly pear that was busted off and I caught some to the rear end, but never had anything as I was going through poke me in my shins. None of that. And that's so atypical for being down there. So that's my aptitude spiel.
Well, for your listeners, couple things. The aptitude that guy's talking about is our soft shell jacket and soft shell pants. So to his point, it is 100% windproof. It is highly water resistant. When you think about the fabrication on that, the reason that it's 100% windproof is has a laminate in there. It's just not taped at the seams because it's soft shell. You can't tape it. So it can take a big beating on the rain. You know, I've tested it in a shower environment and it can, believe it or not, take a pretty good beating. So back to your point about get into a squall situation or high winds coming through a short rainstorm, you can weather a lot. Plus if you pull the hood up, which is a great hood design on that as well. And I know, Guy, a lot of people listen to you and know how long you've been out there. But what do we count? It was 40-some days. 46 days. And as I talked to Guy offline, you know, that's like, you know, 3 to 4 years of what most guys are able to spend in the woods. And that's what gives us a lot of confidence, such as the aptitude that you got a guy like Guy that's been out there that many days and beating stuff up, hopping over deadfalls you talked about. Definitely that fabrication of, you know, of the soft shell jacket and pan is definitely, you know, probably the toughest we have. And, you know, as I give Guy a lot of shit because I have to, when you think about, you know, we're not going to tell you how to hunt. I could give two shits about how Guy does what Guy does. As long as he's happy and he finds what works for him, this brand is about us fitting into your life. It's not prescribing how you need to hunt. You know, we don't prescribe you need everything from next to skin to our ballistic rain shell. I would tell you should own all those pieces because depending on how you hunt, where you hunt, and what conditions, if you want multiple, you know, if you want more of a toolbox, if you will, to go to battle, That's how I do it. But Guy's found something that works for him. And we just want to be part of your story. We don't want to own your story. You know, this brand was really, you know, cemented into being part of your journey. We don't care if you're using a combination of other gear that maybe you like. I hope to own your body at some point, but we're not out to be a billboard. We just hope, we feel humbled if you take us on your journey, because some brands want to define you. Some people want to wear a brand because they think if I wear this brand, I'm automatically the guy. I don't give the rat's ass about that. I just want to make sure when you go to the battle, you have what you need to not worry at all about the weather or the conditions or the heat or the cold. I just want you to focus on the animal and your experience, whether if it's with your buddy or if it's with your daughter or son or if it's with your dad or if it's with your buddies. We just want to be part of it and keep you comfortable. And so, you know, Guy loves the aptitude soft shell. I love it too. I love it more for, I would tell you, I like the jacket on early September mornings where it's a little cooler, or we really prescribe it in, I would tell you, more of a late September, early October where the conditions get tougher, where you need more thermal value. The guy wears it across the board. If I was going early September, I'm probably in the merino pant or the climb. I like the climb because it's a little bit of a trade-off as Guy, you said earlier about merino is nice, lightweight, breathable, but you're going to give up a little bit in the durability or the protectiveness on your knees. If you're on your knees, you're going to feel a lot more coming through. The soft shell aptitude pant, you're going to get the most cushion, if you will, and the toughest fabric. So again, it's just that gamut. And in the middle sits the climb pant, which is, you know, 260 some weight, a good stretch to it. But that's probably my all around pants, the climb pant. And then I'm, you know, coupling it with a merino 250 hoodie for September. I'm probably taking a soft shell jacket if I need a little more thermal in the morning and I'm throwing the jacket off, you know, when it starts warming up and I'm running and gunning. But again, our assortment's pretty simplified. Well, you have merino lightweight, you have a couple of midweight pieces for, you know, a layering, and then you have the aptitude. And then on the very top, you have the ballistic rain shell. So, you know, it's a storm, ballistic storm jacket and pant, which is a three layer, completely 100% waterproof, completely 100% windproof. But that's the hunkering in. You can hunt in that, but that's for saving your life sort of stuff. Or if you're in Alaska, as you know, Guy, it rains all the time. Where you have to hunt, you can actually hunt in that rain gear. So again, next to skin all the way to a ballistic storm shell, we have garments in there to fit your style of hunting. Guys really passionate about the aptitude, which I love. You know, I thought that would be more of a 7-iron, maybe 6-iron, 7-iron, I would say. I think when we think about our merino and our climb pant, we think more 9-iron, you know, pitching wedge, you know, things that probably are predominant to what people are wearing.
Yeah, I don't want folks to get me wrong. I love that climb pant. And, and it's such a good pant that, I mean, it's a around the town pant for me, you know, on days. I'll grab my climbs and wear them around. If the wife and I are going out on a hike, you know, I'll generally put on my climbs. If we're going into an area that may be a little bit thicker, I'll grab my aptitude for sure. If we're trekking through snow, it's aptitude.
All day long.
Yeah. But that climb pant, man, is a phenomenal piece as well. I mean, I don't want folks to think I'm not a fan of the merino pant. I just don't, when I was hunting, you know, 115 degrees, I just have a tendency to beat things up, and I don't want to worry about ripping and tearing. So, you know, for me, a merino is not the way. You get guys that are in that, you know, Arizona desert chasing coos or mule deer, javelina, whatever, that merino is going to be probably their first choice.
Yeah.
Super.
And Guy, I'm with you a little bit. I will take a little heavier bottom to the battle for the protective value. Like I would love I like the merino. I think it fits a specific audience that wants that merino story. It's the lightest weight pant. I always would rather be a little bit warmer and a little bit more protective. So I'd rather give up the cool factor, be a little warmer, not because it's warm or cold out, just because it's warmer, but I'd rather take the protectiveness. And then to your point, the soft shell jacket soft shell pant has a zipper about that long for airing out. The climb pan has a zipper about like that long for dumping heat. So there are aspects of the climb that allows you to dump heat, or the aptitude dumping heat that allows you to go hard, dump heat when you're stationary, zip up, have a little more thermal value. But I definitely like a little bit more protection on my legs because I just don't want to be looking down.
Right.
I mean, I want to be looking up, and I, you know, whether it's my boots, I'd rather, you know, I've worn, you know, I have a pair of Salomon running shoes, you know, they're trekking shoes, I guess, if you would. I like those, but I wear leather boots most of the time for the rigidity, so I can always keep my eyes straight forward. I don't want to be worrying about tearing or being very careful going to a deadfall. I don't want to worry about twisting my ankles from my blown out ankles from my sports years. So I'm an eyes up guy, and I think that's a little bit how I hunt. And that's why I want to take what I want to take. Guy has his perspective. You have another guy. We have some other folks we talk about. They love the merino pant. That's what they hunt in. So again, a little bit of it's pick your poison. But man, I don't care. I just want you to participate with a brand. It'd be part of your journey. So
heck yeah.
What I don't want to do is keep you hanging where you're like, I want to do this, and you don't have something for me, which, you know, there's a little bit of that as we build this brand out. We have some new products coming. You guys pushed this hard, Guy. You love the puffy jacket, if you will. And we're going to come out with a solid this fall. So you'll have the Clement puffy hoodie and in a solid. So Guy can wear it when heck he's taking his better half out to eat.
I wear it now. She's looking at me like, you're going to wear your camo? I'm like, heck yeah.
Yeah, we have a gator coming out as well this fall. And the other thing, Guy, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm just going to bring it up real quick. I have a picture of it here. I'm not going to show it to but we have our lightest merino is a 150 crew neck. And a lot of people like the 150 materialization, so that's the lightest merino we have, had quite a bit of demand this year to say, hey, if you made that 150 with a hood on it, I would really, really love it. So we have a 250 today, 250 weight hooded. But there's some guys, you think about that early hunting where you can get some pouring sundown on you, those hot first of Septembers. And a lot of guys, those guys, when they want just to get the sun off them. Mm-hmm. So they'll bring the hood up, and that 150 weight with a hood, they said that would be money. So we're actually going to be bringing forth the 150 crew neck. We'll be putting a hood on it as well for a crew or hooded. So you'll have a 150 option with a hood. You'll have a 250 option with a hood. And then did you get a chance, Guy, to wear our hybrid jacket?
I didn't wear it in season, but when we were at ISC, Matt had one with him, so I was able to mess with it there. And that, actually, I think that might be my next purchase, is that hybrid jacket. I think
It's called the Vision Hybrid, which is a combination of bamboo, merino, and nylon. So we do some different fabrications on arms with merino and bamboo for ultimate flexibility and thermal regulation. We put a little nylon in the chest for a little bit extra durability and protection. And that's another little, that's a sleeper piece.
Yeah.
I think people that have got into that have loved it.
That'll definitely be on me for rifle season, because it's a lot of, you know, running around in the truck, and I don't necessarily need, you know, the soft shell. And sitting in the truck, the puffy gets a little bit hot. So I think that hybrid will really fit me for my rifle season, you know, out of the side-by-side or out of the truck there. One of the things that I really like, and you brought it up, was the 250 line in that merino. Man, oh man, that the zip hoodie, I love that thing. I mean, the fit of it is, you know, a lot of the base layers are so tight that you're only going to wear them as a base layer, right? You know, maybe if you got, you know, a six pack, you're not running around with a keg on you, generally in that keg realm. It the fit of that and its warmth is just unbelievable, man. Really enjoyed that. I'm looking at the zip off bases too.
Oh yeah,
that under the Aptitude pant, that's money, right? If it heats up a little bit, I can unzip and pull those suckers right off and throw them in the pack. That's going to be huge for me out there.
Yeah, and I know a few people have zip offs that have had them in the industry, and I'm a huge fan, because it could even be a, you know, cooler late September morning where you'd rather not be cold. Mm-hmm. And how many times have you looked at a base layer bottom? You're like, man, I'd love it, but it's going to be a son of a bitch for taking off. I'm just out. I'm going to go cold. That's what it is. So it is nice that zips off, and, you know, you don't have to unlace your boots. You just drop your trousers a little bit and pull it off. And it really works good for zipping off. And, you know, then you just packs down like this and you just throw it in your backpack and off you go. So it's nice to have that versatility. The 250 hoodie, Guy, for sure has been a hammer for us. It's just a hardworking, you know, 150, you know, Ford truck. It's day in and day out a great performing piece. And the 250 just is, I call it kind of that midweight. You know, it's not lightweight like the 150. It's not heavy like a, you know, Vision Hybrid jacket or a 350 merino, which we don't sell. It's just really in a good sweet spot. And you know, we don't have to educate you or your consumers on merino. I mean, just ultimate thermal regulation, whether it's warm or it's cool. It just does an unbelievable job of, you know, regulating with your body. You never feel cool on your arm or your body. You never feel warm. It just kind of moves with body. So that's great. And then not to mention, you can wear it for 10 days or 30 days and it never stinks. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
14 is the magic number.
Yeah. Mine will stand up before it stinks. You know what I mean? Things get crusty as they stand up. And yeah, it's exciting. But again, it really doesn't matter what I have to say, because I'm a little bit biased and none of my kids are ugly. It's just a matter of when you get feedback from the likes of Guy and the rest of our consumers and pro staff out there. We've done a host of interviews. Like Guy, I think we spent a couple hours with the Elk Bros and including yourself. And we probably had 2 days worth of meetings, reviews, if you will, with our guys that we seeded product with, are using it hard to have, you know, 30 to 60 days. And you know, we took a lot of copious notes, a few tweaks here and there. But overall, it was just, it's fun when you're on this side of the screen and the brand, and you get to hear people talk about what they did and how it performed. And you'll never be perfect, but I feel like we got it pretty right based upon the feedback we got.
So was there anything in that, you know, kind of feedback loop that you felt like, man, we missed it? From the guys that I know that are wearing it, I haven't heard anything negative.
Yeah, I think more opportunities than they were negatives. You know, one of the things we heard is more solids in the tops. We heard, hey, make the 150 in the hood. I've got to do that. Two, you know, hey, we want a gator. Oh, by the way, we have a gator coming. So I think it was more extensions and slight alterations to what we did versus, hey, we got to throw this piece in the trash and start anew. Didn't have any of that. But as you know, back to what I said earlier, we have the Western big game hunters. They're pretty acute to what they like. And so it's good because it gives us opportunity to hear what, you know, this is about the consumer. This brand, although it's our brand, we really talk about this brand being the consumer's brand. So we're going to do our best to hear what people want us to do different. And we're going to take that in. And certainly it's got to be marketable and it's got to work for the mass. But we're going to be ears wide open. We have to be. Mm-hmm. We're not sitting in some crystal tower somewhere. And we're about real people doing real things and making sure that they're warm, comfortable, cool, and they have fun going, doing what they do. And the gear doesn't disappoint them. So that's what we'll continue to do.
And man, that is a bad, bad place to be, right? Is you get out there and someone is attributing a bad hunt, right, to their gear. That's horrible. I mean, that's a killer right there. That's instant death. Yeah. And I think the only resounding thing that I remember was, oh, the aptitude pants a little bit loud. Learn how to stalk better, boys. You know who I'm talking to.
Well, as you know, that aptitude even softens up over time. And, you know, I've heard a little bit about the climb pant. You know, we actually pushed the limit on being aggressive with the fit. So I would tell you it's a pretty aggressive fit, but I also tell you, you know, once you get into the climb pant and you actually use it a little bit, she'll loosen up. You know, all fabrics, like I'll tell you something that most people don't know. When our technical development people get a prototype in or pre-production sample, we measure it. So it's got to hit spec, and it can be quarter inch tolerances, half inch tolerances, depends what measurement you're talking about. And well, my technical designers are always like, has anyone put it on yet before we measure it? We're like, no, because that's a big thing. Once you put a garment on, inevitably it will loosen up and stretch a little bit. It's like a jeans, right? Mm-hmm. You throw jeans in the washer and dryer and you're like, put them on and man, I feel like I've gained weight. And all of a sudden you move around a little bit and they kind of shape to your body. So that's some things we've heard. But again, if you start out too loose and too comfortable, you think about getting out in their woods and start humping it and stretching them out even more, them get a little wet, if you will, from perspiration. What happens? They get draggy, they get a little baggy. So that's why it's a little bit out of the box how it fits, which is good. People kind of want to be in the zone. But I'm telling you, I'd rather be just a little tight to start with, because once you start moving around, that garment's going to soften up like your soft shell, mm-hmm. or the climb pant's going to loosen up and kind of start conforming to your body. And all the garments, I tell you what, one of the things we didn't talk about, guys, we put stretch in all of our garments. So there's really good stretch in the way we lay the fabric, the way it's, whether it's two-way stretch, four-way stretch, mechanical stretch, how we lay the fabric on the patterns before we sew it. All those things go in the mixing bowl to make sure you have ultimate mobility. Because I haven't talked about this, but every time you lift your leg, lift your arm, we have a fishing brand. We talk a lot about casting, you know, and a lot of the fishing is going to, you know, forward facing sonar and making sure that, you know, a lot of spot stock in the fishing world. Well, every time you make an arm movement or you think about out west, every time you lift your leg, you're creating friction. Friction creates fatigue done over and over again. So when you make sure garments fit right and use the right materializations, you get stretch. So you reduce friction, which reduces fatigue, which means you can go longer and harder. So all that little spices, if you will, to what we create all transcends and comes together in the use of the garment. And so mobility was a key feature. Drawing, getting over a log, jumping a fence, if you will, all those things that you do, climbing hills, you want to make sure the fabric moves with you, stretches, and yet does not give up on durability.
Right.
You got to make sure those things, I call it chocolate and peanut butter, when you do it right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Reese's. You know, it's Reese's.
Yeah.
Well, it's
one of the things that I've noticed too, right? I have a couple of pants where, you know, you get moving, like you're saying, whatever, you know, whatever you're doing, and the daggum shirt untucks in the back. And you want to talk about making a guy bonkers? Let my shirt untuck.
Yep.
It just drives me crazy, right? And it's just, yeah, I haven't had that. And then I said, okay, let me run them without a belt, right? And I ran them without the belt, still a really good fit. I didn't lose that flap in the back. That will make me not wear something, right? Is that little bit of uncomfort. I was talking to Steve yesterday, and we were talking about the kits for Hunt Fest, and he goes, what do you think about this? I said, well, the reason that I chose that, right? And we were talking about hood layering, right? And you'll see pieces where it's hood after hood after hood after hood. And it's like, well, if I have a merino base that has a hood, then I'm putting my soft shell on that has a hood. And now I got my, you know, Clement Puffy on that has a hood. I didn't want to do that, right? Because I'll feel that merino 250 hood underneath my pack on my back, and it'll drive me bonkers. So, yep. You know, it's those little things. One thing we haven't talked about, and I'd like you to, is the polygene and what that means, right? We're already kind of helping with the merino in that realm. And then you guys have the polygene in some of that line.
Yeah. So the polygene is an antimicrobial. So, you know, to your point is, you know, merinos naturally has an antimicrobial in it where it does not allow odors, if you will, to continue to build. It has a natural antimicrobial. So we've also used polygene, which is a treatment, an antimicrobial treatment. So combination of natural antimicrobial attributes, and then you also put polygene on it, which can be an antimicrobial. So those things work together. We actually used a polygene crunch as well within the assortment that has some odor absorption. So it not only has antimicrobial, but the odor absorption. Now, I'm not here on a platform talking about, you know, managing and, you know, 100%, you know, odor free when we're hunting elk and or mule deer, when we're humping it, but anything you can do to kind of reduce, if you will, your odor signature is a good thing. Obviously, we all know the winds in the West. It's coming here at one point and it's here at one point, and it's just a luck of the draw. But anything you can do to make sure that you manage how you smell, the odor signature, is a good thing. Nothing is foolproof, but again, it's all the little insurances we try to put in there to just really have a great experience and be like, huh, that's interesting. And it's functional. So definitely have incorporated some technologies, whether it's the DuPont or Perlite insulation, which we've just got great reviews on, how little you can put, how much warmth you can get to our treatments, such as what you're talking about with polygene. Just trying to think about bringing the right solutions to every garment and putting the right features in there to be the best, the best we can, and for that intended end use.
So if you had to pick one piece out of the entire assortment, just one, what would it be?
A bottom or top?
Just one.
I'm probably going to go with the climb pant, because it works for everything. It works from early season to late season. You can layer, obviously put some merino under it. That'd be my one piece. That'd be my bottom. And I'm going to put another one in there. My top would probably be every day is the merino 250 kinetic hoodie. So those would be my two pieces. Now, you know, you'd say, well, Aaron, what are you going to do? You know, late season. Well, that's, you know, I'm just talking about things that I think probably get them the most use. I go back to my golf analogy. Those are kind of like, you know, a 9-iron sand wedge in my golfing bag. Not that I golf much anymore, but those are just every day, whether you're working on your farm, you're doing food plots, you're looking for horns, you're scouting, you're glassing, anything you want to do. And I can't imagine. So what's your favorite guy? I mean, what is your one piece that you're going to take the bat? Or what's your favorite piece in the assortment?
The favorite is the 250 Kinetic. As high as I am on the aptitude line, that 250 Kinetic is just a solid piece. I mean, day to day, it's a solid, you know, that Merino, like you said, right? The heat, the cool, but it's just well built. It's comfortable as all get up to wear.
Yeah.
And it's a good looking freaking hoodie, man. Absolutely good looking hoodie. But I would have to say that 250 Kinetic.
Yeah. Guy, are you using more solids or are you mixing solids and the verse? What's your game?
I'm kind of a mix, man. You know, September, how I kind of base that is, you know, am I hunting a herd or am I hunting a bull? If I'm hunting a herd and I got more eyes around me, then I'm definitely going to be looking at, you know, top to bottom on that verse pattern. If I'm just chasing the bull, I'll probably go solid bottom and verse up top. And generally speaking, it's, you know, you'll see me, and I think, well, you saw it. I was top to bottom camo. You know, I never know if I'm going to run into a herd or if I'm going to run into just that single bull. I do enjoy the solids, but I feel like, you know, as you said, as you get further away, that light and dark is all that matters. And for me, when I look at guys in full solids, I see they stand out, you know, in the woods. So if I'm going to choose it, it's going to be top to bottom. If I have to shed layers, like my 250 Kinetic is solid, then I'll run that, you know, and I may decide to open up my aptitude soft shell jacket and, you know, run that over the top of it. But generally speaking, man, I think, you know, having that verse on top to bottom is just going to increase the likelihood that I'm sending that arrow at a distance that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, I'm with you, you know. But I'm older and I'm old school, and I like just taking every advantage I can to the field, you know, and this is nothing against people want to wear all solids. I could give two shits about it. You do what you want to do. I don't care. I want you to hunt like you want to hunt. I'm back to, you know, I like to take every advantage. So I'd rather have a broken up silhouette just in general. And making sure I minimize, if you will, any chance that I get picked off because I blob out. Because, you know, this guy, how many times have you tried to make a move across an open area and it just doesn't work out? You get hung up in an open area. And I'm telling you, I'd rather be top to bottom and verse at that point. Think about going through a meadow. Like, I want to. Yeah, how should we get across this meadow? That bull's working over this way. I think we can get across the meadow straight, or like, we can work the edge all the way back around. Nope, let's make a move. And all of a sudden we get halfway across that meadow.
Eyes on us.
And guess what? You get busted or you get locked down, and I'd rather be locked down in all verse. Absolutely. But again, if you didn't have solids, you wouldn't be, you know, responding to what customers like. And some guys can't afford a camo bottom and a solid bottom. And they want a bottom they can wear, you know, on the job. And they want a bottom that they can wear in the woods. So they might have to go to a solid. So that's all cool too, you know. But I'm just curious on how you hunt and what do you see in general, guy, out there?
In terms of?
Camo versus solids and man, I think how people are hunting.
I think there's a mix, right? I think there's a trend in the solids. And I think there's some guys that are taking that as the measure of the man in the woods, if you will, right? Like, hey, I'm, you know, they killed in a red flannel and blue jeans forever. And, you know, I'm able to get this animal laid down in solids. And then, like you said, right? I mean, it's a lifestyle. So guys are buying solids and they're wearing them on their day to day and they're walking in the woods with them as well. So I think it's a mix. I don't think it's a 50-50. I think we're still more camo than not.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, a lot of the guys, I think it's, you know, they're taking it as a challenge, as a measure of the man that's carrying that bow or carrying that rifle. Which is cool, right? I mean, you know, they're up in their skill sets and their abilities so they can go out there and perform you know, on that playing field with those majestic animals, man. And, you know, there's something to be said about a guy that's killing something at 20 yards in full solids, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, then the other thing, you know, like the, you know, you have these, the TAC events, you have the Western Hunt Fest. I mean, that's the other consideration back to the solids is that, you know, not a lot of guys are rocking a camo stuff. You know, they'll maybe be wearing a camo, you know, merino top. A lot of guys are wearing solid. So again, this is about 365 days too. So another place where, you know, if you don't have a solid, or in our case, we have a solid option, and the merino pant or the Klein pant, probably wouldn't be wearing the Aptitude bottom or pant when we're at Western Hunt Fest.
You'll
maybe
see.
I know one guy, one person in general named Guy will be, but I'll be rocking the Klein. So again, another, you got to meet people where they're at.
Right.
And we're able to meet people wherever they're at in life, whether they're doing technical 3D shoots or whether they're wearing solids in the woods or if they want to be camoed up. I mean, we're about you at the end of the day.
Yeah. So before we wrap, man, why don't you drop the socials and the YouTube and the .coms and where they can get a hold of 2O if they have any questions, where they go for that?
Yeah. So I definitely, you know, part of our relationship with, you know, Guy and, you know, Western Contours and the Western, you know, with the Hunt Fest, it's about awareness. So we're definitely in awareness mode right now. And it kind of feels like the best kept secret right now, Tool Gear is. So I would tell you, I'd love for everyone to jump on our journey and learn more about us. So our website is Tool Gear, T-U-O Gear. GEAR.com, toolgear.com is our website. So go learn about our product. Our team does a great job of making sure you have a good experience on our website and you learn about our product. And then our social, just go check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Tool Gear. And love to have you follow along, learn about our brand. If you're one of those people that are like, man, I'm kind of tired with what's going on. I don't want to look like this guy. I don't want to look like that guy. I kind of want me my own guy, and I want a new brand, if you will, that I feel comfortable with, that I trust, you know, a lifetime guarantee on our product. Don't listen to me. Go read our reviews, talk to the Elk Bros, talk to the guys like Guy, talk to, you know, people are using it, and let that speak for a brand. And love for, you know, the more that we can get following what we're doing, at some point I hope you're intrigued enough to click through and purchase a garment, try us, and give us a crack at being part of your experience. Again, we started and talked a lot about this, but we just want to compliment what you got going on. You know, time is very limited. Our time on earth is fragile. Older you get, the more you know it's just a blink in the whole scheme of time. And we just want to be part of helping you be successful, making sure you're not worrying about, you know, your gear, you know, letting you down. And you can trust the guys like Guy. Hopefully you trust a little bit what I'm saying as well. We've been in the business for a long time. We take this personal. This is not like just some little, you know, skunk's work project. We have a lot of other brands in our portfolio, and this is what we do. So hope you give us a try. Follow us on social channels or checkout.com. And, you know, most importantly, Guy, you know, call you a buddy at this point. You know, we've known each other for, you know, less than about a year now, probably coming up on it. And it's been great, you know, living vicariously through you and through your experiences, and just really appreciate all your support.
Yeah, man,
really,
no,
do. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, no, you guys. Yeah, and believe me, it wouldn't be there if I didn't believe in it. I know my listeners know how I am with gear. So no, you guys are doing something great, man. And I'm happy to be in it and honored that I'm able to talk to you and, you know, have the team part of Western Hunt Fest and whatnot, man. So I look forward to building that and getting it exposure and, you know, getting more folks into them.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Guy. I appreciate the time this morning.